Whether you're in the market for a new home or just want to sell the one you have, contact Shannon Franklin of RE/MAX Newport Elite for all your real estate needs.
Shannon will deliver outstanding and honest service to get you what you're looking for at the right price.
Shannon knows Kenosha and is excited to help you on your real estate journey.
Call her at 262-960-5182 or click that link down in those show notes to learn more. Frank's Diner, 508 58th Street, has been a Kenosha icon since 1926.
This classic establishment offers up sassy service with scrumptious breakfast and lunches.
Try their signature garbage plate and check out and see what's on their specials for today.
You mean Kevin? He's special.
Yes, he is, and so is the food.
Stop in at Frank's, open 7 days a week in downtown Kenosha. So grab yourself a cup of coffee, sit back, and let's brew up the conversation with Deshaun Foster, the owner of Black Coffee Kenosha. Cue that music! Welcome to the Cake Town Connects podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Donnie, and over here is the man cracking the beer.
How you doing, Donnie?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing wonderful now.
Yeah.
I just cracked open this great beer.
It sounded good and looks refreshing.
Oh, yeah. It's so refreshing.
What you drinking there?
I'm drinking a Bomb Pop Sour.
Ooh, where is that from?
It's from Public Craft Brewery located in downtown Kenosha. They're right there at 628 58th Street. You can find their full menu at publiccraftbrewing.com.
Wow. And go in there, get some beer, eat some food. They have football on Sundays. They got a lot going on.
Open 7 days a week now.
Wow. Amazing. Matt and the crew are totally kicking some arse.
Yeah, they got daily specials going on. Good stuff.
Yeah, their menu looks great. The beer tastes great. Everything about the place. I love it.
Yeah, you can get beers there. You can even get like a four, like we have four packs here. You can get beer to go.
Yeah.
Stop in, grab a four pack, bring it on home and...
Pretty much everything down there at Public Craft Brewing Company.
Yeah, so thanks, Matt, at Public Craft down in downtown Kenosha. Mm-hmm. Stop down in there and tell them K-Town Connect sent you.
Yeah, please do. We need that sponsorship renewal. And what a killer theme song that
was. Oh, yeah.
Huh? Deshaun, what do you think about that song? I mean, that was rocking, huh?
Yeah, it got a little old school feel to it. Yeah, really
dope. That's Dropping Daisies. Thanks so much for that. They recorded that for us.
It never gets old to me.
It's number one in the charts, I hear.
And it's number one in all of our hearts.
Oh, yeah.
And where are we at today, JTB?
Oh, well, Donnie, we're recording here at Luigi's Pizza Kitchen.
I thought something smelled good.
That's what that smell is, huh? All right. They're located at 7531 39th Avenue. They're open Tuesdays through Sundays for carryout, delivery, and dine-in. Yes, the dining room is open.
Wow. Come on in and sit down and enjoy your pizza or pasta.
Yeah, you can give them a call at 694-6565 and see their full menu and order online at luigispizzakenosha.com. And you know what Donnie always says?
Order those pizza pies.
That's right.
Gotta get that on a t-shirt again.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll talk to the letter machine about that.
All right, okay. All right, that's fine. You think that's going to go over?
Deshaun just said he ordered 10 of them right now, if we had them printed.
We don't make pizza, though.
But it's a catchphrase.
We don't even have pizza available here.
Yeah, you're right. All right, well, you're probably wondering what's going on with this show. Well, we are here with Deshaun Foster, the owner of Black Coffee Kenosha. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, we're just going to, you know, we're going to just dive in right now. We're going to try to get to know you before we get to know the business.
First off, we can say he's the owner of Black Coffee. Located at 5615 7th Avenue in downtown Kenosha. That's behind the Creative Space in that building there. And they're open Tuesdays through Saturdays.
And, yep, Tuesday through 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I love those hours.
Yeah.
great morning hours.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Find them on Facebook, Instagram, and anything else? TikTok?
TikTok.
Oh, you're on TikTok.
Yeah,
okay.
A little bit.
Donnie's right. Just getting on TikTok.
Yeah, there. I'm old. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
I don't like it either.
I just opened up the app this morning. I'm like, I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll learn, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I want to ask this question right away. When did you fall in love with coffee?
Honestly, like right around the pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right around the pandemic.
Not when you were a young boy, you're drinking coffee back then?
So I liked it back then, but I think I was really only drinking it because I wanted to be like my grandmother.
Oh, okay.
She snuck me some, and
what kind of coffee was it back then?
It was just some black coffee with tons of sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
Some creamer in it. But, you know, as I got older, I just, you know, was something that I didn't particularly like. And then when COVID came around, the school that I was working in was actually still open. And, man, everybody else was off. So I would stay up all day, all night, knowing that I had to go to work in a couple hours. So started drinking coffee around then, and it's been pretty much on it ever since.
You've been hooked.
Yes. Yes. I found what I like.
Okay. There you go.
Let's get to a little more of the business in a little bit. First, we have to get to a little Deshaun here.
Yeah.
So, you grew up in Kenosha?
Yes, born and raised.
Okay.
Ooh, yes. I like those stories.
What neighborhood did you grow up in?
The Wilson Heights neighborhood.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. How was school like back then? What kind of kid were you in school?
I was terrible.
What? You're such a gentleman right now.
I've grown to be like that. I was terrible. I'm not going to lie to you. It'll be a bunch of teachers that will say the same, but I was always caring and loving, though, but, you know.
We just having a little fun,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. You
respectful
have to spice
but mischievous?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Or you try to be mischievous. Yeah, respectful. Yeah.
All right, so you're growing up. And you're kind of a troublemaker, kind of, right? Your words, kind of. You're good, but you're bad. Did your parents get just super mad at you?
I wouldn't say I was terrible, but, you know, I was a kid, you know, just like everybody else. My mom worked a lot, so I would be with family a lot. You know, just trying to hang around my older cousins and my older brother was terrible.
Oh, really?
He was terrible.
Okay. Is that where you think you got some of it from?
Yeah, but then as I got older, I'm like, nah, I don't want to be like this. That's my brother, though. I love him to death.
How many siblings did you grow up with?
So I have one brother and one sister.
Oh, okay.
And then I have a stepsister and three stepbrothers.
Oh, okay. Oh, big family then.
Yeah, huge family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Christmas was fun, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So when did you find out about the Boys and Girls Club? I know you got involved in that at a young age.
Yes. Man, that place when I was growing up was way different than it is now. It was more community than anything back then. It was a place that we went to stay out of trouble. Sometimes that place would feed us. A lot of people didn't know that. But, that place... Man, tons of memories.
Yeah.
I was one of the kids that grew up in the Madrigano Center, which was behind the KUSD building. And, man, I've probably experienced every memory that a kid could ever experience there. So it's unfortunate that it got tore down and turned into something a little bit bigger. And I think it lost its meaning when it got bigger. So
okay, so it's not really the same in your opinion?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Hmm.
What were some of those great experiences you had there?
Man, first kiss,
dance
party.
What was her name? Everything. What was her name?
I can't get too much into that. But.
Wait, are you engaged to her?
Nah. But man, I got taught how to cook there. I got taught how to use a computer there. Got taught how to play sports there.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was stuff that's like essential in my life. I really learned from there. So that's why I said it meant so much to me, and it was unfortunate that they tore it down. But
yeah, they don't really do much like that anymore, huh?
Nah. I mean, they do, but I just feel like kids have to go through so much there just to get the stuff that we got that was like the bare minimum.
So how did you meet Elvin Owens? Was that through the Boys and Girls Club?
Not particularly, but somewhat still in that circle.
Oh, okay.
So I actually met Alvin through his brother, which...
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's introduce the audience. I know he was on the show a couple years ago, Alvin, but can you give us a little background on
yes,
Alvin Owens?
So Alvin Owens is the owner of a Regiment Barber Collective. Mm-hmm. He also is the owner of 6E Behind High School. What is he called? It's for the college tour.
So oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yes, he the did college the tour. Tours, so,
yeah. Oh, yeah, he talked about that when he
yeah,
was on the show.
So, so that's pretty much how I met him. But
was that at Bowling when you were going?
No, actually Wilson.
Okay.
So I met Alvin actually through his brother, which his brother will laugh when I say this, but his brother Arlen is the original Mr. Owens.
Oh.
Yes. So Arlen was pretty much like a big brother type thing for mm-hmm. the school district. And he was at Wilson Elementary and eventually moving up into middle school is when I really got introduced to Alvin and went on a college tour. He has some programs that we entered in at Bullen too, mainly just like a mentorship type stuff. And man, I went and seen New York for the first time when I was in seventh grade.
Wow,
him,
that must have been an experience.
Yeah, 4 months before the World Trade Center went down, we took pictures and everything in front of it. So that was crazy.
That's
yeah.
got to be surreal. Like after that happened, my goodness, wow.
Well, that's so cool that we had Alvin on the show a couple of years ago, and now we have the product of his work. That's awesome. Cool.
He's got to be a big mentor for you.
Yeah, huge. Honestly, without him, it wouldn't be no Black Coffee. Mm-hmm. It would still be kind of like something that would be an idea.
Mm-hmm.
So the main reason that it even got to him was because he was my barber at the time. And it was just something that I asked him, like, hey, I've been thinking about doing this. What do you think? And his reaction to me just lets me know, like, letting me know that I had to do it. So.
All right. Okay, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to, young Deshaun here. So you're a teenager. What was your first job?
I actually worked for the city of Kenosha in the Parks Department.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
I heard they have great benefits.
Not as a 14-year-old kid. We used to die in the heat.
So would you just help clean up the park, stuff like that?
No, actually, when they before the Kingsfish came, what was the baseball team?
The Mallards? Was it the Mallards?
No. Was it the Twins? The Kenosha Twins?
That was a long time ago, the Kenosha Twins. Yeah. I think it was...
There's been a couple different ones. I don't remember which ones are which.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But before the one, the team before the Kingfish.
So they had this mural that they had up outside of the stadium that was like almost half of the block long. Mm-hmm. And we actually worked on that mural to get it painted and get it up.
Oh, cool.
And then we also painted trash cans for the city around.
Oh, wow.
Very nice. City.
And you got paid to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But we almost died. It was so hot.
It's like now I was in the city with like, hey, let's get some artists to paint the things for us for free.
Yeah.
Very cool. So you're a teenager. Did you have any ideas on what you wanted to be when you grew up?
I mean, like everybody else, I wanted to be a professional basketball player.
Yeah,
that dream got shut down early. But
did you play a lot of ball?
Yeah, I played a lot of ball, but once high school hit,
you weren't getting any taller.
Yeah, definitely wasn't getting any taller. I broke my ankle. So it was rough once I got into high school.
But you toured the colleges in seventh grade. Do you have any like thoughts of like, ooh, maybe I can do this, maybe I can do that? Do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go to HBC. Once I seen that, I was like, man, this is a place that I definitely want to go.
Oh, yeah, that's a good trade. Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. So when you graduated, what was your plan then? I mean, sorry, did you graduate high school?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't graduate.
All right. Yeah, I graduated high school. So when I first got out of high school, I wanted to actually be a sports broadcaster.
You and Donnie both.
Right? Yeah. So I actually had got accepted into Bethune-Cookman for the sports broadcaster program. I actually decided to stay home in Kenosha. I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
give us some of that broadcasting voice. You still got it in you?
I mean, you hear it now.
It's pretty smooth. It's pretty smooth. I need to adjust his volume very much. He's got this. Yeah, he knows the microphone pretty well. So you don't go to college. What did you decide? What were you doing then? What were you working when you got out of high school then? Where were you working?
I still went to college.
Okay.
Yeah, I just decided I wanted to be a little bit closer to home. Probably one of the biggest mistakes, but, I wouldn't be here if I didn't make that mistake.
Right, right. So where'd you end up going?
To UW Washington County. It was a 2-year UW school in West Bend, Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's still, it's a long drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your experience like there?
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, I hated it.
Why?
I mean, after the first year, I ended up coming back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't like it at all. I didn't like it. I played on the basketball team there for the 1 year, and it was just something that, you know, I just didn't enjoy it.
Didn't like, yeah. If you don't like something, you don't do it, right?
Yeah.
So what did you do after that? After 1 year, you came back to Kenosha?
Yeah. Came back home and just started working.
Just working, making that money, right?
Yeah.
What were you doing then?
I actually went back and worked for the Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, yeah, so very nice. Full circle.
Yeah. So I was working for the Boys and Girls Club for some years, and then went back to online school to be a teacher. And, yeah, pretty much got my associates in teaching. And
what made you want to teach? Just your experience at the Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah.
We had the mentorship from Alvin. You kind of knew that, and you kind of was already like kind of teaching people at the Boys and Girls Club already, kind of doing that for their role. So
yes.
I can see that. Yeah. That's cool.
Did you like teaching?
Yeah, actually I loved it. I worked, of course, for the Boys and Girls Club. Then I worked at Jefferson Elementary for a little while, and then ended up going to a private institution called Goddard, Goddard School out in Pleasant Prairie, and you know, taught there and worked in the kitchen there. So it was something that I really enjoyed.
You miss teaching?
Yes and no.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Now that I have my own child, I'm like, thank the Lord for teachers nowadays. I really appreciate them because I know what they go through. So
yeah, I can take kids like one or two of them. You get like a group of 30 of them, and I'm scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you gotta go on a field trip or something.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Head counts.
Buddy system. Time all together. All right. Then you start to understand why people have leashes on kids. You're like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, oh,
it's cruel.
Nope, I get it. All right, we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back with more with Deshaun Foster of Black Coffee. Aaron Hunziger of AH Did It is a local industrial artist who specializes in lighting creations, custom furniture, and much more.
Each piece he creates is a one-of-a-kind, guaranteed to never be duplicated, and is handcrafted with extensive care and imagination.
Wow, no project is too big or too small.
For more, find Aaron on social media under AH Did It, all one word. Every Friday, get on down to Union Park Tavern, 4520 8th Avenue, for their famous Friday Fish Fry, voted best in Kenosha for over the last decade.
But that's not all, Donnie. Union Park Tavern serves up great food every day, including their 9 a.m. weekend brunches.
They also offer plenty of entertainment, live music, trivia night, karaoke night, and more.
Be sure to check out that fabulous beer garden. That's Union Park Tavern, 4520 8th Avenue.
And we're back from that break.
Yay!
And what a break it was. And we are here with Deshaun Foster from Black Coffee Kenosha. And they are located in beautiful downtown Kenosha at 5615 7th Avenue, right behind the Kenosha Creative Space. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Now let's get into this now. How did you get the idea to open up a coffee shop? What inspired you? Why did you do it?
The whole idea came from my daughter, Jonessa. Mm-hmm. As I said before in the earlier parts of this, during COVID, of course, her school closed down. Mm-hmm. So with my school being open, she started coming to school with me every day. So, of course, seeing me go to the coffee I won't say the other coffee shop's name. Mm. But we would go there and wait in the drive-thru for
forever. Was it Dungeons and Dragons?
And she would just always be so impatient, like, in the drive-thru. So
they are the slowest at that place that you're referring to.
Definitely. So one day, just mysteriously, she was like, "Dad, you know, I'm tired of waiting for this. We should do our own coffee shop." And as crazy as that sounds, that was her solution to waiting. But
if my dad has his own place, I don't have to wait for it.
I'm waiting for that shirt to come out of the dryer. Dad, I can't wait anymore. Let's open up a laundromat.
Yes, exactly. the idea came from her. And then, after a couple of things had crossfire with some of the stuff that happened in Kenosha a couple years ago, I basically hit a crossroads in life and just was rethinking life in general and what I wanted to do. And that idea of what my daughter said just kept coming in my head. I would go to think about doing something else and it would just always venture back to like, hey, you should do what she said. So
it just was always in your head like, she was onto something
At first I was like, what? Like, are you crazy? and then just like the more I thought about it, I was like, hey, you know, I feel like the city needs something different. You know, everybody, I mean, there's multiple coffee shops in Kenosha, but I feel like I can bring something a little bit different to the game, which was why I decided to go ahead and do it.
So you decided to go ahead and go through with this. And you were like, where am I?
What was your first step in bringing this, making this happen?
Talking to Alvin about it.
Ah, okay. He was your mentor. So you wanted to say, hey, I have this idea. It won't leave my head. Yeah. I need help me out here. What do you think about this?
And what do you think? What do you say?
I mean, if you could have seen his face, he was just like, yo, you have to do that. Like, you have to do it. That's something that Kenosha would definitely need. And, you know, anytime I had told somebody about it, I think it was only one person who kind of like was trying to deter me from it. And
you always have those, yeah, right?
You always have that one, but
I bet they come in almost every day now.
No, I still haven't seen them yet because I kind of want to tell them like, ha. I'm a humble person, so I was still, you know.
I'll tell them for you.
Thank you. I would more thank them than just tell them thank them for putting the fire under me because, you know, as I said, growing up, you just get told so much. It's something that you can't do. So
yeah.
Like, I'm going to use that as a motivation.
I like that.
Right. Do it. Yeah. So what came first, the market or the barbershop place?
The barbershop came first, yes.
So Alvin owns the Regimen Barbershop, which is pretty much across the street from the Boys and Girls Club almost.
Yeah.
Right on 14th and 52nd there. And so he had the idea of getting you in that place? So
yeah, because I told him, I want to do this, but I don't have anywhere to do it.
Yeah.
And
like getting a whole place is expensive and just everything. Yeah.
And I had just like, I mean, I had enough to get it started, but like.
Because you had to buy all the machines and everything, and those aren't cheap at all.
Not at all. Even the smallest ones are expensive.
Ooh. Yeah.
But so he has something in his barbershop called the Legacy Lab, and he also gets together with another company called Succeed Beyond High School. And in this room, they had like computers and stuff. They would teach kids how to make resumes and apply for colleges and basically life beyond high school.
Very good. Right?
And that they had took a little bit of hiatus or whatever. And Mr. Owens was like, well, this room right here is open. And, you know, this is what the Legacy Lab is for. You know, you're a product of the legacy of, you know, going to the college tour and kids that we tried to help out in the community when you were growing up. So he was like, I want you to just take it for right now. Just be in there as much as you can. And what I decided to do was just to do 2 days a week just so. During that process of time, I really just learned how to do this. So I never went to barista training.
You just kind of learned on the job then?
No,
so
I learned on the fly. When I was serving stuff to you guys, I was literally learning as y'all was tasting. Like,
but you're a natural then.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. I mean, I still to this day, I watch different videos and stuff like that on just learning. But
still learning to make it even better, right?
Yeah. So that's why you see me a lot. Anytime I see something, I always like to like think of flavor profiles to make that. So the things that you guys see every week are literally for me. Like, hey, this might taste good.
I know, like you got that one with cherry flavor, toasted marshmallow, banana. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is just up my alley. I love sweet stuff. Yeah. I'm like, this is so good.
Yeah.
So you got going at the Barbershop Collective, Regimen Barbershop, and then you started getting involved with the markets, the public market?
Yes.
Or the harbor market, was it?
Yes, the harbor market.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do that.
They don't like that. They don't like when they get confused there.
So I got pretty much approached by one of the members on there, and they said that there was something that they really wanted to do, was to have me there. And at first I thought about it. I was like, you know, I don't think I'm ready for it. And I decided, you know, like, what am I waiting for? This is something that I said that I really wanted to do.
So. Yeah, and someone's inviting you to take part of this. Yeah. You're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
And what days were you open at the barbershop?
Tuesdays and Saturdays.
Okay. Yeah. And market's on Saturdays. So.
Yeah, so I stopped the one at the barbershop on Saturdays and just did the markets. So,
okay, okay. Yeah.
What was that experience like at the market?
Man, that
very
first
well received.
That first one, they kicked our ass. My language, but no, you know what? I love the market because it helped me understand like implementing a system and timing and handling multiple customers at one time. Of course, at the barbershop, it would be days where it would be really busy, but I was always able to like. If a person came in, one person came in, then maybe another person would come in 5 or 10 minutes later.
Mm-hmm.
So that always gave me that like little bit of like break to like redeem breathe myself.
Stuff, yeah. Wipe the table down. Yeah. And stuff, yeah.
Yeah. But at the Harbor Market,
it's absolutely. Just constant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those first 2 hours, whew, they're brutal.
So I mean, you can't do this all by yourself. What kind of crew have you had?
So honestly, from the get-go,
family?
Yeah, family, family was huge in helping me out. My brother, Nate, my cousin Aaron, my mm-hmm. girlfriend, now fiance Jenna, she was a big help.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just relying on family to be able to help me, you know, at least get it started. But
yeah.
Those three were my main team, and you know,
well, that's what family's for, right?
Yeah. Still to this day, I appreciate them a lot.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So you're the market, you're doing the barbershop, and then.
Well, I have a question before we get going on that. So you named yourself Black Coffee. B-L-A-K.
Yes.
What's the reasoning behind that name?
So I kind of wanted to, because that name is pretty common, Black.
Yeah.
But the main reason I did it was because that's how my two grandmothers drank their coffee.
Okay.
Oh,
a lot
I like
of people
that.
In the world drink Black, just yeah. Black mm-hmm. coffee. Spelling it how I spelt it was just for a way to keep me from being like everybody else.
Be a little different,
yeah,
but kind of.
Be indifferent, okay. You know? But it basically streams from my story with my two grandmothers.
Okay.
The one being the one who snuck me coffee, and then my other grandmother who I lived with for a good portion of my life. I just always could remember waking up, getting ready for school, smelling
that coffee,
like the darkest, blackest, burntest coffee. And so that's how they always drunk it. So that was my in remembrance to them.
Did you have any other options of names you kind of threw out that you kind of were close?
No, I went right with Black Coffee.
Stick with that,
a couple people told me that I shouldn't have named it that.
Hmm.
But you know, I did have for a second thinking about naming it LC's Black Coffee just for my two grandmothers, but decided to just name it Black Coffee Kenosha.
Okay.
I like that.
Well, and yeah. B stays up closer to the list on the alphabetical
yes.
list,
yes.
too.
Yes. You're closer in the phone book if that still exists.
Yeah, exactly. That was the old rule. Yeah.
All right, so you're doing very well with the market, the pop-up, and then... what made you decide? Maybe you always wanted a brick and mortar, but what made you go through with it?
Honestly, I hate to say it, but politicians.
Ah, yes, I ran into him today at Union Park Tavern.
Yeah. So, honestly, just, you know, right around some of the election times, some of the politicians were coming into town, of course, to try to get votes as they do, you know? And that was just one thing that I would always tell them is like, man, like you guys have to worry about the small people, you know, like y'all have to understand that it's a lot of us out here who have ideas, and it honestly didn't matter the color.
Yeah.
It's tons of people who have ideas on a business, but, you know, I would say 95% of the Americans don't have capital to open up a small business.
Right, yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive. And most of them, if they do, it's like savings. And they clear out their savings, and then it end up going belly up, and they lose their savings. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the examples. And, you know, the main example that I used was coming from where I came from. You know, we definitely didn't have that money. And in order to beautify your city or your state that you live in or any other city and state across the world, you got to help people out like me.
For sure.
So when I told them that, I thought it went in one ear and out the other.
We're talking about Todd Onstad, correct?
I told it to anybody who would listen. Honestly, okay. Tip McGuire, Mandela Barnes came in. Okay. I told him, Tony Evers even kind of told him.
Oh, very nice.
I honestly just didn't bite my tongue about it because this was something that I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I just needed that extra push, you know. Mm-hmm. And like I told him, I said, you guys give me a chance and you won't regret it, you know.
Right. Awesome.
And then you found the Creative Space.
So how'd you get involved with Francisco at the Creative Space?
Todd.
Yes, that's Todd, what he was telling me today.
Todd, I said, hook you up with that?
Yeah, Todd just called me one day out the blue. And like I said, I told him something. It was probably like 6 or 7 months later, but I told him.
He needed that vote.
Yeah, and I'm like, and he just called me one day and he was like, hey, I want you to meet me here. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I kind of, last time I talked to you, I told you what I had to say type thing.
Yeah.
When I pulled up, it was the old Blue House Books. And of course it looked a mess when I looked in there, and him and Francisco came out and they was like, hey, this is yours if you want it, you know. And I was like, well, like, what do you mean? Like, it was like, this is yours, like, we want you to come in and we want you to bring black coffee into here. We got a couple solutions to help you get it open, and that's pretty much how it happened. At that time, I was still in like, maybe I should go a couple more days with just doing the pop-ups. And for a while, I thought about it, and I actually wasn't going to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wasn't going to.
It's because, a big step, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, what you asked for finally came.
Yeah.
And then when I started, like, looking at the pieces for how much it was going to cost, I'm like, man, I can't do this. Like, I can't afford this right at the moment. You know,
and were you working like your other job at the time?
I had stopped everything. Oh, okay. Like, I was fully into the coffee shop, trying to get that going, and pretty much everything that I had, I was putting into trying to make it successful.
Wow.
And so, Todd had also told me it was a couple things going on for programs for grants for business owners, and he pretty much told me that if I took that spot, then I would be eligible for the grant. So that was like that extra push that I finally needed.
Yeah.
See, look at Todd coming through in the clutch. You gotta love Todd.
He came through for us one time.
Oh, see, that's good. So how does that work with renting from Francisco, the Kenosha Creative Space? Because he kind of helps out these smaller businesses like he did with Blue House.
Well, it was supposed to be temporary. I think that was the Blue House Book thing, was it was temporary, and then they were going to go on. So is that part of your deal, too?
No.
Okay.
I'm there as long as I will.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, great. Because cool. I love that location.
Yeah. You know, I love it and hate it sometimes, but I more love it than anything.
Well, people that work down there should not park in front of businesses.
Yes. That's the main concern right now, is just being accessible. You know?
Yeah.
I love it, though, but at the same time, as much as people think that, like, having a downtown business is glitter and glow, it's like, no, some days I literally have to sit outside my shop and tell people, like, hey, I need this parking spot. Like, don't park here. I need this for my people to be able to just hop out their car, get their coffee, and then go, you know?
Well, then so many people, it's sad, they'll go to Walmart and park a block away to go buy, you know, whatever at Walmart, but they won't park a block away to get a cup of coffee or to shop somewhere downtown. Right. It's like, that's too far. Oh, I can't walk that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. So you got this space, you're in, Todd, Francisco, everybody, you know. What was it like walking in with, opening the door with the keys for the first time? This is mine.
It was cold. So a lot of people don't know.
Well, I'm sure Francisco didn't pay the heat bill.
No. So a lot of people don't know, 2 nights before Black Coffee opened, the, what is it called? The furnace went out.
Oh.
Yeah, the furnace went
out.
Wow. And then it was, I want to say the night before we opened, it was like -20 something.
Oh my God.
Holy cow.
And me and my team were in there. We were painting.
Did you share that on Facebook, that situation? Because I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah. So we were in there painting, you know, pretty much doing the finishing touches. We almost froze in there. And that's why I always just say that, you know, I appreciate my team because, you know, they definitely looked out. They definitely helped out. And, you know, I always like to take care of them in anytime something that I can.
For sure.
Know,
whatever you can do. Because,
man, I couldn't imagine someone asking me to come paint in some 20
degree weather. Hell no.
Sorry, you're on your own.
It was space heater. We had space heaters in there. And, man, it was crazy. But, you know, we got it done. And, you know, of course, It was important to me to open on the first day of February for Black History Month.
Yeah, I thought that was that was great.
Yeah, no, I had to because, you know, that's the technical definition of Black History Month.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know. It's just in celebration of the, you know, people who have did stuff, you know, that comes from our culture, our community, our history. Mm-hmm. And so being the first Black coffee shop in there, I didn't think of any other day that I could open it.
For
so,
sure.
You're in the books now.
Hey, I'm hoping I can be in there for long.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So what was that first day of business like for you?
Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, you've already got, you know, you're kind of used to it, but this is your first time in your shop. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I just figure out where everything is and everything like that.
This cash register, dang it.
No, you know what? That first day, we honestly had no issues. I was very surprised. We had no issues besides the furnace being broke. And, I mean, I felt like people understood because, I mean, it was people in there that was in there all day. You know, they had their coats on, but they were in there all day.
Drinking that warm coffee to warm up, right?
Yeah.
You planned it that way. No. Buy more coffee, stay warm. Smart marketing.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, the ribbon cutting ceremony, it was super cold outside still. I mean, if you look at our ribbon cutting thing, we all still like, we were like bundled up. But yeah, you know, I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that day.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be very proud of yourself for having a dream and following through and being very successful.
Yeah.
And Francisco got the furnace working good now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's good this working. Winter? It's going to be all right.
It better be. We can't take that anymore.
let's talk about your menu. You have quite a big menu of drinks and pastries, lemonade as well, Foster's lemonade, but we'll get into that. Some of your drinks are named after some of your relatives, correct?
Yes.
How are they flattered by this?
So unfortunately, the people who the menu items were named after are my past family members.
Oh, okay. So, all right. A nice way to remember them.
Yes, that is my remembrance of them.
I love that.
And the description next to the drink also describes the drink, but it describes them as well.
Oh,
beautiful.
Cool.
So it gives a little bit of my family history. And of course, like their children were able to see that, which of course is like my first cousins and stuff like that. And, it was just my way of basically not forgetting where I came from.
I love that.
And, I kind of want Black coffee to be like Tenuta's, you know, Tenuta's is Italian history, and I kind of want Black coffee to be like a Black history.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah.
So I had to let people know who my family was.
Right. Yeah. So then your menu, you also have chai. You have, I mean, go through your menu a little bit. Well, I mean, you got a lot of stuff.
Yeah. You got to be able to compete with everybody. You have to, you can't let somebody leave cause you don't have something. So.
But you do something like you do flights as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's this coffee flight all about? This is crazy.
Man. So it was something that I seen even before I ever thought about doing coffee. Mm-hmm. And then there's another coffee shop in Illinois that did it. And when I went there, this was even before I opened Black Coffee. I'm like, man, this is a really good idea. Like nobody else does this that I can think of that's in this immediate area. So the way that I can keep Black Coffee's name going is to do something that the other shops aren't doing.
That's got
to
be tricky, though, because, I mean, make one drink takes a couple minutes. They got to make four drinks.
Yeah.
So that's got to take a little time,
Huh? Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, phone it in, Nick. If you're going to order it, phone it in to me, right?
Well, you know, the thing that I tell people is each drink is handcrafted, you know, so
take some time.
It's going to take some time. We're not pouring lattes out of a container into your drink.
Right.
You know, we're actually taking the time to make your drink. So I always tell people it takes a good 15 minutes to have one flight. So
So
relax and just kind of, okay.
Oh, somebody did last week. Not this past Saturday, but two Saturdays ago. It was ridiculous.
Everybody's just already those flights.
Yeah. Ooh. You know, it was, man, I think at one point in time I had six flights.
Well, then once someone sees it, it's like, what's that? Oh, I want to get that too, you know?
Yeah, and then a lot of people come in with like multiple friends like, hey, we're going to get five flights. And I'm like, that's going to take an hour, y'all. I think what y'all should do is maybe come up with a couple decisions, maybe get two of them, and then get the bigger version of a drink that you really want.
There you go.
Yeah, or order like each order a different drink and then get a couple little cups and make your own flights, you know?
Yeah.
So, as soon as someone will come in and order a flight, you're just going to roll your eyes. Dang it,
why did I do that?
Why did I do this?
Hey, it's times that I think about it, but you know what?
But it's a conversation starter. Yeah. It's a good marketing, and it's it's great. You can try all those coffees. Yeah. Next time they come in, maybe they want to order a flight. They found their favorite drink.
And that's really what it is for. It's for that purpose. But I also tell people that it gives people the options to try four different drinks.
Yeah.
And if you got five, then hell, leave with one. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Pick four and then leave with the one that you want to try.
See, that's perfect.
Well, that's perfect for me too, because I'm not really a coffee drinker. I don't really know mochaccinos and whatever, espressorinos or whatever they are. So I would probably get like a flight and then try different things and see, oh, so what I like,
there you go. Know?
I always tell people, though, even if you don't drink coffee, to at least try it, because everybody makes it different.
Yeah.
I like to always ask my customers, like, how do you drink your coffee? So then I know how to actually make it.
Nice.
Because it's certain people who, you know, they don't like any sweetness or anything at all.
And there's people like me. I love sweet coffee.
Yeah. So that's my way of telling people, like, I mean, I've had people who never tried coffee before. I mean, didn't like coffee at all before, and then tried it. And it's like they come in every single day. Now, so.
Yeah. No, but now you don't just have coffee there. You also have some pastries and stuff. But you don't make those yourself. You team up.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes. So throughout the weekends, we team up with Paelli's.
Okay.
You know. 100 years in Kenosha, you can't beat that with a hammer, you know.
Right.
So we use them throughout the week, and then my mother, who is up and coming, you know, with trying to kick off her bakery.
Oh.
She does a lot of the stuff on the weekends and like a community kitchen. So
Okay.
Looking forward to when she retires in a couple of months, getting her stuff out there, because people, they just love her. So,
Okay. When she retires from a real job and she can kind of focus more on baking. Okay.
She's been at her job.
Be careful what you wish for, because my mom's retired now and I get so many soups and banana breads and all kinds of stuff. I can't keep up with it.
No, it's okay. I see my mom every day. My mother actually lives with me.
It's so good stuff, but I'm getting so much of it. So.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
She's
going to
retire, but not retire, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's about time. If you know my mother is probably one of the hardest working people you'll ever meet in your life. I can remember her at one point in time working three jobs.
Oh, wow.
What the hell? How do you find time for that?
How do you sleep?
Exactly. Yeah, yep. She would fall asleep anywhere. It didn't matter.
She get her naps in.
Yeah. So, you know, she has been working in the same place since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
I'm 36.
Yeah.
So it's about her time.
Yeah. She put her time in.
So very well deserved.
Definitely.
Speaking of women, your coffee that you make all your coffee with is Eastview Coffee, correct?
Yes.
And that is a woman-owned business locally, too. So you're not only are you a local business, you're supporting another. So many local businesses that you support.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I talked to Jenny today. She said, hi. She wanted to say hi to you. And you have a special blend that they make for you, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah, I decided it's funny how I met Jenny.
Oh, let's hear. Yeah. I want to hear that.
So, me and my daughter actually was at the Kenosha Harbor Market.
Oh, okay.
That's something that my daughter like really liked to do on the weekends, just to go there to kickstart her weekend off. And one day we were just walking past, and this was like after I told my daughter, like, "Hey, we about to do this. Like, let's do it. This is you, baby. Like, let's do it." We were walking and I'm looking at other stuff and my daughter is like tugging at me and I'm like, well, hold on. Like I'm talking, you know, and she was like, hey, look, it's a lady over there. She got coffee. We should go try it. Once again, this is who was the person that was telling me to do this, that I needed to start this coffee shop. So we went over and tried and, you know, I had a conversation with Jenny and it was kind of like a conversation that would, I would say was like important, you know, because I was still doubting myself. And when I told Jenny, she was like, no, you absolutely should do this. Like you absolutely should do this. And, my way of telling you that I really think you should do this is that I'm going to give you a couple bags of coffee and I want you to go home and I want you to try these coffees. I want you to understand these coffees, do your research on them, try them, understand like what it is to like have these notes of coffee when you try it. And then I want you to come back and see me. And that stuck with me, you know, that stuck with me for a long time because when I had talked to her, like I said, we kind of had like an intimate conversation. Mm-hmm. And when I first met her, she was like, nobody in Kenosha really was like giving her a chance to put her coffee in their shop. And, you know, me not being that good with coffee, it was like, hell, I'm in the same boat. Like, I'm trying to get people to try my stuff. So I'm going to go with you.
Nice.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So when we started off, I lugged up my espresso machine and carried it up Publix. No, not Publix. Rustic Rolls.
Oh, those steps.
That was a lot of stairs.
Yeah, tons of stairs. Yeah, with a damn 75-pound machine. So I'm carrying it up the stairs, and one day she had me and my brother and Alvin come in, and she brought out, like, her whole plethora of coffee. And we tried, like, literally every single coffee that she had. And when I did that, I was like, wow, like, this lady really believes in me. You know, I believe in her. Mm. I can see it already, you know.
She does have a passion.
Yeah, definitely. And just her believing in me was like, all right, all systems go. Mm-hmm. Like, let's do this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So that's a story that I'll never forget. Yeah. Like, once again, my daughter, like, hey, you need check to go this check out. This lady out. Like, not knowing anything about
her. How old is your daughter?
She's 8 years old now.
Awesome.
All right, so recently you won Best Minority-Owned Business from the Kenosha News. Mm-hmm. How does that make you feel? Say a few words about your award.
Well, I definitely want to thank people who did vote. Mm-hmm. I felt like I should have won Best Coffee Shop, but that's nor here nor there.
Right.
Congratulations to who did win. I did win second place, which did mean something to me because I wasn't even in business for a year.
You're the new guy in the block.
Yeah. So some of those other businesses have been here. Of course, the other one, they took over Common Grounds, but I still felt like that was like...
It's the same.
Yeah, segue into it. So just for me to beat out some of those coffee shops that have been going for a while, was maybe that's something I should be happy about. But the minority thing, at first I was like, it's not the best coffee shop. But then I thought about it. I'm like, how many minority-owned businesses are in Kenosha?
Yeah,
right.
Like, it's a lot. Not just black owned businesses, Mexican owned, Asian owned, everything. And so when I thought about it like that, I'm like, hey, you know what? That's something to be proud about. Mm. So
yeah, and it puts it out there.
Yeah,
I mean, next year you're gonna win Best Coffee.
Yeah, I better. It's gonna be some furniture move.
That wrestling theme song is gonna come on.
Exactly. But no, I definitely appreciate everybody who did vote for me. Rather, it was for the award that I won or the one that I didn't. I would not be anywhere without the people who did vote for me and support me every day.
All right, I gotta ask you this. A few weeks ago, you made a post about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are coming to Black Coffee.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, somebody took this. What happened here? They took it too serious? These Swifties are all insane.
You know what? It wasn't Swifties.
It wasn't.
It was surprisingly jackasses that just troll the internet. People that aren't even from here.
But I thought it was brilliant, by the way.
I thought it was great. And honestly, I mean, for people who weren't from here to even be able to comment something negative on it, it did what it was supposed to do. It reached people outside
of Kenosha. That's how I say it. I love when people are negative about stuff on our podcast Facebook page because it's just triggering more people to see it.
Yeah.
You can blast us all you want. Yeah. More people are going to see it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that was brilliant.
Hey, I appreciate it. I literally was like, man, this is who they talking about. Let's see what happens, you know.
All right, Deshaun, so the holidays are coming up, and you are also running Lois's House of Love Christmas Toy Drive.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
So my Aunt Lois is a special woman. That's who my lattes are named after, and that's just because lattes make you feel warm and make you feel comfort. And that was my aunt, you know. It didn't matter who you were. But piggybacking on what Dom said earlier with coming from a big family, my mom was the second youngest out of 10 kids. So you can imagine how big our family was during the holiday season. Our branches had branches on top of branches on top of branches on top of branches. But one thing that our family did that was pretty special and I can always remember growing up was with our family being so big, we had a secret Santa. We would get our secret Santa pick. It could be an older family member. It could be someone the same age as you. It could be an adult kid. You never knew until you opened your gift. But one thing was, you always went home with a gift from your Secret Santa.
Yeah.
And as big as my family was, my Aunt Lois would buy every single person a gift. It didn't matter if you were her sister, her brother, her mother, her father, her niece, nephew, cousin. If your girlfriend was coming, she was going to be leaving.
Something,
yeah.
Huh?
And I mean, it was, it's some years it would be something really special, or some years it would be socks and drawers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you went home with something from her. And, as the Christmas season came, I wanted to be able to get back to the community just for saying, like, hey, thank you guys. You know, I don't forget about you guys. So the one thing I thought about was basically implementing what my aunt used to do. And that was make sure that every kid who would come to the Winter Fest is going to be named after her would leave with a gift.
Okay.
So I'm encouraging people to stop by and donate a new toy. Please have it new.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't like to be, like, picky like that, or, like, feel like I don't appreciate, you know, if somebody was to bring something used, but...
That's only common sense. Yeah,
it's a gift for a kid. A kid doesn't want a gift of a used toy. Yeah, right. Picture yourself being a child and you're getting a used toy for a gift. Yeah. You're like, you want something new. It's in the box. You're a little kid. You come on.
Exactly. And so, that's what I said. You know, put yourself in the predicament of a little kid. Mm-hmm. This little kid, this might be the only Christmas present that he gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want that to be used. I want it to be something that, you know, he or she will be able to put their hands on and say, this is mine.
Yeah.
You know, so.
For sure. So anyone can participate in this. Just stop in and bring in some new toys over to your shop.
All right, cool. And we got a nice little box for it. And then a couple of days before the event, we're planning on doing the event December 23rd, right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So it'll be like a little winter festival. We're going to have Christmas carols. We're going to have pictures with Santa. We're, of course, going to be giving away the gifts to the kids. They'll be able to decorate cookies.
Oh.
We'll have hot chocolate, everything. So, it'll just be something that, you know, is like what my childhood was like.
Yeah. Is that going to be at your place?
Yeah. It's going to be at the Creative Space and at Black
Hole. Oh, they're going to use the Creative Space, too. I'm like, your place is pretty small for that.
Yeah. Nah. But we're going to be highlighting a lot of the other businesses from Creative Space. So, like, Would You Kindly, they're going to be doing the Christmas carols.
Oh, okay.
And Jenna, she has the Soul Space. Yes. They're going to be doing the cookies. Me and Katie Wallner for...
Hot Mess Studio. Hot Mess. You got to love Katie, right?
We're trying to figure out what she's going to do, so... Yeah. Everybody that's in the building, I just want people to be able to get some exposure to their business as well. So we're just going to be implementing them into it as well.
Very cool. And that's December 23rd. And up till then, you can drop off any new toys at the Black Coffee.
Yep. At 5615 7th Avenue. Drop off those new toys.
And stop in and get a great drink.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely do.
What a combination. Great drink. Drop off a toy for a good cause.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, well, we're going to take our second break, and we'll be back with some Kenosha Connects.
All right. Don't touch that dial.
Yay.
Does your business need a little extra attention?
Do you want to grow your impact and your bottom line?
Do you want to be heard?
Well, let out a roar and contact Gary Schneeberger of Roar.
The Roar team has over 30 years of experience creating effective and evocative content that'll help you reach your goals with boldness, engagement, and inspiration.
Want to learn more? Visit weroar.la. Roar! Hey, Jason, you thirsty?
Hell yeah.
Well, get on down to Lucci's Grandview, 6929 39th Avenue, and grab yourself a cold drink and some great conversation.
This family-owned bar will serve you up some great memories.
Follow them on Facebook for their great upcoming specials and events.
That's Lucci's Grandview, 6929 39th Avenue.
In 2024, Kenosha will be electing a new mayor for the first time since 2016.
Did you know that for the past 31 years, Kenosha's only had two mayors?
We have new options available in 2024, and how well do you know these mayoral candidates?
The primary election in Kenosha is in February, and K-Town Connects is organizing a very special event where all of Kenosha can get to know these candidates and make an informed decision of where your vote should go.
Jason and I don't know much about politics, so we got someone who does. This event will be moderated by WIP's very own Pete Sarzin.
Come out to the Rohde Center for the Arts in downtown Kenosha on Sunday, February 4th at 2 p.m. Admission is a $2 suggested donation to the Rohde Center.
Know your vote, 2024.
Find more details on ktownconnects.com. And we're back from that second break.
And what a break it was.
It was.
Yay!
And Jason, do you know what time it is?
Yeah, Donnie, it's time for Kenosha Connects, and that's brought to you by Hayden Cheese. Donnie, what's that delicious smell? Well, it must be Hayden Cheese. The one thing we all need in Wisconsin is more cheese options, and at Hayden Cheese, they have taken the art of grilled cheese to amazing and delectable levels. Hayden Cheese can be found all over the Kenosha area. Be sure to like them on Facebook to find out where to pick up one of their fantastic sandwiches and soups.
All right, Deshaun, you ready for Kenosha Connects?
Yeah, we're going to see.
All right. Where in Kenosha would you recommend someone going on a first date?
Black coffee.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Yes. Where'd you take your fiance on her first date? Anywhere around here?
We went to Cheddar's.
Oh, yeah, Cheddar's. We went to Cheddar's. Okay. Yeah. All right. First date, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good, too.
I like that. I like that.
How about this one? When's the last time you rode the streetcar?
For Kenosha Pride.
Oh,
I parked.
Okay.
I parked kind of far away, so
you hopped on.
I just hopped on and got.
That's what it's there for.
Yes, yeah, see, somebody finally is using it for what it's there for. Yeah. I love that. All right, what was the last great meal you had in Kenosha?
I'm a big fan of Apis.
I had a really delicious meal
from Apis. And I actually tried octopus for the first
time. Oh, yeah. What'd you think?
Funny story. So I'm actually allergic to shellfish, and I didn't know that octopus was a shellfish.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have known either. Yeah.
Yeah. So I tried it. It was good, but I definitely almost died. Yeah. So.
All right, Deshaun. This is a thinker here. Which now closed Kenosha business do you wish you could bring back?
Oh, that's tough. Mm.
Don't say Common Grounds.
I wouldn't do her like that. Yeah, that's a real tough one. I can't think right off the top of my head. Hmm. I'm going to go cliche. I'm going to say the original Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, there you go. Right. Perfect.
I haven't heard that answer yet. Sounds
good.
Right.
The original Boys and Girls Club got to come back. That other place, I don't...
Not a fan, huh?
Different. It's different.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it is, you know.
Got too big for its britches kind of thing?
Yeah, that's not what it's for, man. It's, you know, you'll have people tell me that what I'm saying ain't true, but coming, being a product from there.
Yep,
yes,
you lived it. You lived it.
Well, maybe after you get the coffee shop up and going and you kind of step away for a minute, you can get something else going for the community, for the kids.
I would love that.
I'll be on board. I'll help you out if you do that. I'm here. All right. What is one thing you wish you could change about Kenosha?
So being a small business owner right now, I don't like the direction that Kenosha is going in.
You mean westward, that kind of thing?
Westward and just Kenosha as a whole, I feel like they're trying to make it into a big city. And with them trying to make it into a big city, they're bringing in big corporations.
All right. Now we're going to lighten it up a little bit. In which Kenosha bar do you think you spent the most money at?
Big Shots.
Oh, Big Shots. All right.
Big Shots, yeah. Big Shots was when I was finally able to hit, you know, that age of going out. Yeah, they got a lot of my money.
I did go to that place a few times. I did like it. Yeah. I used to live right down the street, so I would go over there.
Yeah, it was decent.
It was a cool place. It's a pretty cool place now, Angry Bob's.
I haven't been in there yet.
It's not bad. They fixed it up a little bit. It's more of a sports bar. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They make a real good mojito, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah. I know you like a mojito.
I love mojitos.
All right, Sean, last one here.
Okay.
The big debate in Kenosha. Big Star or The Spot?
Big Star.
All right.
Yes, that's what I like to hear. Well, that was our Kenosha Connects, and that was brought to you by Hayden Cheese.
And what time is it now, Donnie?
Ooh, it is trivia time, and trivia is brought to you by the Lettering Machine. They're located at 725 50th Street. They can customize almost anything. Gifts, uniforms, school apparel, office attire, accessories, you name it, they can do it. Also, check out their online novelty shop at thelettermachine.com as they have some awesome already made designs just for you. So check out the Lettering Machine.
I will.
You ready for some trivia?
Yep.
All right, let's do this.
All right, well, today we have coffee trivia.
Oh, boy.
So we have Deshaun against Donnie here. Best of three questions.
Okay, I think I can get this.
Okay, we're going to start with Donnie here so you kind of see how it works. So, Donnie?
I'm ready.
Which Italian word would you use if you wanted two shots of espresso?
That's amore. Amore?
No.
Espresso Amore?
Doppio.
Okay.
Oh, you knew that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's going to whip you here. That was one of the hard ones. Okay. All right, Deshaun, this is going to be simple for you. What chocolate-flavored coffee drink gets its name from a city in Yemen that was once a center of the coffee trade?
Mocha.
You got it.
Why did you give me an easy one?
All right, here's an easy one for you, Donnie.
Oh, okay.
Black Coffee is the title track of the 1956 debut album by what jazz and pop singer? 1956.
Willie Nelson?
No, it's Peggy Lee.
I did not know that one.
I didn't know that one either. I would have said Heavy D, though, because that's the only Black Coffee song.
All right, Deshaun. Hot coffee, in quotes, was a controversial modification to the San Andreas edition of what car-stealing video game franchise?
Oh, what is that game called? Oh, man. Give me one second, because I know this. I don't know why I can't think of it. Grand Theft Auto.
You got it. There you go. All right, you're up 2-0. Donnie?
Okay, this is just to see if I can get one right.
All right, well, this is just a fun question anyway.
All right.
You're not going to get this. How many cups of coffee would an Olympic athlete consume prior to a drug test beyond which they will be banned from competing?
What? How many cups?
Yeah. Would make it illegal for them to compete.
37.
No, it's five.
Five?
Well, they have to drink them really fast, though, and have it in their system right away because it goes through your system. But I guess, yeah, that's what it says here.
Interesting.
Yeah, 12 micrograms of caffeine would ban you from competing.
Interesting. Oh, right. Well, I lost.
All right.
And you won, Deshaun, and you win a K-Town Connects podcast t-shirt courtesy of the Letter Machine.
All right.
Congratulations on beating me.
It's easy to beat
you. You know what? I forgot to bring this up. You had a celebrity come into Black Coffee.
Yeah, I had actually a couple.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Tell us.
So the first one, of course, was Topher Grace.
Ah, yes. The Venom from Spider-Man 3. Yes. Right? That's what he's known for?
No. Oh. Eric Foreman.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah. So him and his wife and his children came in. That was actually when I was doing my pop-up.
Oh, it was in the pop-up. Okay.
Yeah. That actually really like let me know, like, man, this is...
I'm doing something
this
right.
Is great. I think her name was Maggie on...
Walking Dead?
No.
No.
What's the... The nurse doctor show, real popular.
Grey's Anatomy?
Yes. Oh, Maggie.
Really?
Maggie came in, yes. She was on the campaign trail with Mandela Barnes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she came to Black Coffee. So I've had two so far.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now I gotta ask you, who is the better tipper?
Topher.
Yeah, right.
Topher and his wife looked out for me.
We want to get him on the show just for like a little 5-minute like phone interview about Kenosha, like you know, talk to him about why he, you know, we know why he comes here now, but you know, like experiences with Kenosha back compared to that 70s show, because it was like talked about, and Point Place was always, to me, it was always like Pleasant Prairie kind of thing almost.
It you know what? That's what I was told it was, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's different because they like drive to Canada and you can't do that in here.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like flexible, I guess.
Made up, you know? Point Place.
Yeah, very fluid, but yeah.
It's funny though because he actually came and visited me another time.
Oh.
Yeah, this time was, I didn't know, but this time it was like, it was at the Harbor Market.
Out of all places.
Yeah. Nobody knew it was him.
Dang.
Yeah, him and his wife walked up and he was like, "Hey, Deshaun," and I'm like,
"Dang,
you
what's
Foreman?
Going on, Topher? How you doing?
You've made it."
Yeah, so his, you know, the reason that I found out why they found out about it is because his wife is like really into like supporting like LGBT.
Oh, very nice.
She supports like Black businesses. Very instrumental in like supporting things of, you know, minority, as you can say.
So she's like, "Hey, we're gonna give this guy a boost today."
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So when she came, she was like, "I had a couple friends just tell me about it, but I just know what you're doing." So, you know, I'm waiting for him to come see me again.
Yes,
I told him I haven't seen my place yet. Hell, if I gotta close it down for y'all to come in for a couple minutes, just let me know.
Well, then her family comes from local business owners too. They owned that Stoneface Bar over on 8th Avenue.
Oh,
her grandmother, I believe it was, owned.
Oh,
the bar.
Yeah, okay. Years
bar
and years
on
ago.
8th Avenue. Well, they closed down maybe 10 years ago or so when she retired.
Oh,
it's an 8th Avenue tap now.
Yes.
Okay.
On 8th Avenue, about 47th or so.
Hmm. Right down there by one of our great sponsors, Union Park Tavern.
Right, right.
All right, Deshaun, thank you so much for joining
the show.
Get down to Black Coffee Kenosha, 5615 7th Avenue. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram, and keep up the great work. You know I'll be coming in this week for my favorite drink.
Are you still doing the Harbor Market?
No, Harbor Market season is getting ready to be over with.
Okay, you're not doing the indoor?
No, well, it's at the vault. I'm right across the street.
Yeah. Just put a sign up.
Hey, hopefully I'll be back. I'm waiting for them to confirm that I'll be coming back next year.
Okay, so you'd like to come back next summer?
As long as they have me, I'm going to be there.
Awesome.
Perfect. All right. Well,
yeah, that's a great episode here.
I love it. Also, look for this episode and many more of the K-Town Connects podcast on Spectrum Channel 14 and on the Kenosha Community Media streaming channel on the Roku box. Every Wednesday, 11 a.m. and Sunday at 5 p.m., there's a random episode playing on Spectrum Channel 14.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
That's great. And we'd also like to thank all of our Patreon subscribers, including our subscriber of the week, who is the lovely and beautiful Nikki Lehman.
Ah, that's Jimmy from the Interludes girlfriend. Everybody knows Jimmy from the Interlude. He's crazy, that guy.
Yeah.
And he was a great guest on the K-Talk Next podcast.
Yeah. And speaking of people who support us, we have to thank all of our wonderful sponsors, including Lucci's Grandview,
Frank's Diner,
Wink Beauty Boutique,
Hide and Cheese,
Shannon Franklin of Remax Realty,
Union Park Tavern,
Re-Roar LA,
AH Did It, Aaron Hunzinger,
Public Craft Brewing,
and of course Luigi's Pizza Kitchen. Thank you all so much. What a fun episode that was. I learned so much today.
Yeah, we had a good time. So
yeah, all right. Well,
I like he was on time too.
Yeah, I like that too. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening.
Hey, Deshaun, thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate you and what you're doing for the community.
Get down to Black Coffee. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays.
Yes, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right.
Get down there.
Do you have your menu online?
No, but it will be coming soon.
Okay. Perfect.
You can follow them on social media to see what kind of specials they got and things like that too. And they always got something good brewing down there.
They really do.
All right.
All right. Hey, Jason, after, 120-some episodes, I'm just trying to figure out, what are we doing here with this show?
I don't know, Donnie. What are we doing?
We are connecting Kenosha.